morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Today, I'm going to talk about the effect of long-term tillage on land use and soil CO2 emissions. As a background, to get started, in the carbon dynamic cycle in agroecosystems, we have that the soil is the second largest pool of carbon after the oceans, with 1,500 petagrams of carbon a year. It also has the second largest flux of carbon leaving the soil, with 60 petagrams of carbon a year. Soils are really sensitive to changes in environmental conditions, and given that it's one of the largest pools, it is predicted that an increase in 1 degree Celsius can increase the release of carbon between 11 to 34 petagrams of carbon. The process in which the soil is released from the soil into the atmosphere is known as soil respiration. It is a diffusion process that has two main components. One is the autotrophic respiration, that is the CO2 coming from the plant roots, and then the heterotrophic respiration coming from the rhizosphere and microbes that use the soil organic matter as a source of energy. Some of the key drivers of soil CO2 emissions are the soil conditions like temperature, soil moisture, vegetation type, land use, and the nutrient balance in the soil. In agricultural activities, we have some control over those factors, and we do control those factors by changing tillage and land use or cropping season or having a rotation or a monoculture crop. Those factors are changing basically the diffusion rate from the soil into the atmosphere for the gas. So the hypothesis from our studies is how those changes in soil organic carbon are induced by tillage practices and cropping systems, and how those changes affect the soil CO2 emissions. The goal of our study is to investigate the effect of long-term tillage and crop rotation in carbon dioxide emissions. This study was performed in a long-term tillage experiment at the Texas A&M Brazos Farm in College Station. This study has been performed over 32 years, where two main factors are evaluated. The first one is the cropping system, which evaluates the monoculture soybean, and then the rotation winter wheat soybean. In my presentation, I'm going to present results for soybean and winter wheat. And the tillage practice consisted of conventional and no-till. The conventional treatment consisted of only disking to 25 centimeters depth, three or four times after harvest, and no tillage only received banded fertilizer application. Previous to the beginning of the experiment, a soil analysis was performed to determine the initial conditions with respect to soil organic carbon. So what we observe is that the conventional till under monoculture soybean showed to have the lowest amount of soil organic carbon, while the rotation winter wheat soybean under no-till has the highest soil organic carbon for all the depths that were evaluated, especially from the top 5 and 10 centimeters. So this was the baseline that we used to continue evaluating our treatments and measuring the soil CO2 flux. The soil CO2 flux was measured at Likert 8100 aerometric soil gas flat system. So we use 8 chambers, 2 chambers per plot. This chamber measures the related amount of increase in soil CO2 once the chamber closed, with the rate that the soil CO2 is being diffused out. The chamber measures soil CO2 every 30 minutes and is connected to an infrared gas analyzer that measures the CO2 concentration and the water vapor. Some of the variables that we also measured were the soil temperature and moisture at 4 different depths, 5, 10, 20, and 30 centimeters. And to evaluate the sensitivity of soil CO2 flux to an increase in 10 degrees Celsius, we measured the Q10 value for the early, middle, and late season, and for the complete season. Once we have the soil temperature conditions, we relate those with the soil CO2 flux in the seasonal and daily basis. Some of the results that we observed is that the long-term tillage affected some soil physical properties. On the top graph, we observe the soil temperature for the growing season in soybeans, and the blue line represents the no-till treatment, and the red line represents the conventional till treatment. What we observe is that the amplitude of the changes in soil temperature in the no-till are smaller in the no-till treatment. So conventional has a higher amplitude and higher temperature. The same was observed in the lower figure that corresponds to the soil moisture in the y-axis for the period that was measured, where no-till has the higher water content compared to conventional till. For the winter wheat season, what we observed is that there were no differences in soil temperature that were affected by the tillage treatment. However, the volumetric water content was different between those two systems. And we relate those differences because the variation in the soil, in the temperature during the winter period is smaller than during the summer where the soybean is growing. With respect to the soil CO2 flux for the season, we observe that for the winter wheat, no-till has the lowest soil CO2 flux. So in the y-axis, we have the soil CO2 flux in micromoles per square meter per second. And in the x-axis, the day of the year that it was measured. So the average soil CO2 flux in the no-till was around 2 micromoles compared to the conventional till that was around 2.43 micromoles per square meter per second. We also observed that the system captured those precipitation pulses that were observed after a rain event after the instrument was working again, and that's what we observed in the gray bar that is presented as the precipitation. On the other side, for the monoculture, we observed that the soil CO2 flux was higher and the no-till compared to conventional till. The average was around 2.47 for conventional till and 2.72 micromoles per square meter for no-till treatment. Also, we observed the pulse response in precipitation in soybeans. For the temperature sensitivity, what we observe is that the Q10 changed between the early, middle, and late season, and the values in the no-till, that is the graph in the bottom, where we have the soil CO2 flux again temperature, we observe a decrease in the Q10 value in the no-till treatment. So the temperature sensitivity to soil CO2 flux decreases in the late season. What was more interesting is when we look at the frequency of those soil CO2 fluxes that were measured every 30 minutes, we observed that even though the no-till treatment is also emitting carbon, we observed that the range of that distribution is lower. So most of the soil CO2 flux that is being released in a no-till treatment is coming from the range between 1 to 3 micromoles per meter squared per second. On the top graph, on the top right graph, we observe that in the conventional till, it has a wider range. So the range of soil CO2 is ranging between 1 and 5 micromoles per meter squared per second. For the sensitivity in soybeans, we observe that the conventional till has a fast response in the early season to soil temperature compared to the no-till. What was also interesting to see is that if we look at the x-axis, we observe that the conventional till has a wider range of variation in soil temperature between 20 to 50 degrees Celsius compared to the no-till, where we have a smaller range between 20 to 40 degrees. So there are those are two completely different scenarios, and the response that in which the soil CO2 is being released. In this case, if we go back to the beginning, we observed that the no-till treatment under soybean was emitting more soil CO2 carbon. And that's also related with the frequency in the figure on the bottom, where we have that the distribution between no-till and conventional till was quite similar. So they were emitting soil CO2 around the same range. When we look at the diurnal fluctuation in soil CO2, with our equipment, we are able to follow up the diurnal variation in soil CO2. We observe that, as we said in the beginning, conventional till is emitting less carbon at nighttime. And for that period, we compare with a static measurement. So soil CO2 is measured one time a day, normally between 9 to 11. So we compare what has been normally done with our diurnal pattern that we measure, and we observe that if we estimate the amount of soil CO2 that is measured in the diurnal base, we are overestimating at 50 kilograms carbon per hectare. So it means that measured 1 time is increasing the uncertainty to estimate the amount of carbon that is releasing in the soil. Also, when it comes to the hysteresis pattern, we observe that the most of the increase in soil CO2 emissions in the y-axis and in the x-axis, the soil temperature increases up to 3 p.m. and then it starts to decrease as the temperature also decreases. And we use study this hysteresis pattern and compare it between winter wheat and soybean. What we did observe with that hysteresis pattern is that the volumetric water content has an effect on the shape of the hysteresis pattern in winter wheat, but in the lower graph in the soybean we did not observe the same pattern. So from the left to the right, we observe that as the volumetric water content goes from 0.17 to 0.25, that clockwise pattern was more clearly defined, which determined that the volumetric water content was having influence in that response of soil CO2 release from the soil. In the soybean, we are still trying to explain these results, but the response was not as clear as in winter wheat, as in the volumetric water content increased from 0.19 in the left graph to 0.19 on the right graph. The hysteresis pattern was not as clear as in winter wheat. So some of the results that we observed is that tillage practice affect the soil properties, and we did observe that by the changes in soil temperature with depth in no-till and conventional till, and this was also affected by the season. So winter wheat has a lower amplitude of variation in temperature compared to soybean, that is during the summer time. No-till under crop rotation that has the greater amount of organic carbon was not related with a higher soil CO2 flux from the soil. So from our hypothesis, we conclude that even though the soil has a higher soil organic carbon, it's not related to a high release of soil CO2. Also, the magnitude of the diurnal soil CO2 flux was affected by temperature and moisture, and that's what we observed in the hysteresis pattern. And the Q10 coefficients change also between the early, middle, and late season. So we cannot assume a unique value for each crop. We need to consider those changes that occur as the crop develops. Thank you so much.